to my wedding. And I won't forget to put roses on your grave.
Thank you. From the University of Winnipeg, this is CKUW 95.9 FM, Campus Community Radio. The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's archives. Join us next week when the regular host will be back with a few new episodes of original programming.
Welcome back to Ronnie's Refreshing Reviews. Recently, I listened to Doechii's 2024 album, Alligator Bites Never Heal, and it was quite good. I just recently reviewed Chromacopia, the new Tyler, the Creator album, so one might assume, since she's very up-and-coming, that I first heard music from her feature on Balloon. Fire feature, by the way. But no, my introduction to Doechii was all the way back in October of 2022, when she made a song for the trailer of Wendell and Wild. Fire movie, by the way. I was addicted and hooked to that energetic and lively jam as soon as I heard it, and I couldn't wait for the release of that song, which never happened. It was never released. But since then, Doechii has been in the back of my mind as an artist that I should really get around to listening to. And I finally did. This is a mixtape, which makes it fall under a slightly different rubric. The focus clearly isn't on making a multifaceted, cohesive experience where the songs fit together to create one completed idea. The main focus is just on the bars, on Doechii's writing and how she adapts and adds to the different sounds. And the sounds are very varied, because this is a mixtape, so most of the songs are produced by different producers, although Devin Malik and Cal Banks have a few repeat contributions. And the beats include samples from several sources. Some tracks have samples of preset iTunes drum beats or bass lines. Some include samples of obscure 70s Japanese tunes. And when I say some, I mean one-time things for each of these examples. There's not much repeated themes in these beats because, again, it's not supposed to be the most cohesive project. There's slow atmospheric pieces, classic boom-bap beats, trap beats, house and lo-fi inspired moments, and plenty other styles, and she does kill on each of those styles. Some of the most noteworthy samples are the Boiled Peanuts beat, with a really hard-hitting sample flip of a song called Jano's Revenge. And even more noteworthy of a sample is an MF Doom type beat by Ian James. The reason this is more noteworthy is because I knew this beat before this album came out. I technically used this beat almost a month before the album dropped, when I wrote a dumb cringy song while bored, and recorded it over that beat while my family was out on a drive. It kind of ruined some of the magic of the album a little bit, knowing what stupid puns I wrote to the specific patterns of the song, and knowing how differently she used the beat. Anyway, I must move on from the production side of the mixtape. The performance on this project is pretty great. She's great at adapting to the different moods and modes of the various beats. It reminds me of an album by the bus driver called Temporary Forever, where the focus is showing off the bus driver's incredible ability to chameleon and adapt to the energy, melody, and feel of the wacky jazz, classical, and various other stylistic sample chops. Every person I know is a secret story agent, cause I'm accused of lewd conduct, so the heart to rape from prom side, and I got a rule of form, and the rest of put me in a loony bin, a funny form, cause I'm with the data, but I'm just trying to hold your hand when you die. There was not a single person who could do it better. For some examples of how Doechii does this with some of these songs, on the opening track Stankapoo, she uses this watery atmosphere to lay down some chill, introspective lyrics with this calm, lower octave, raspy flow. On Boiled Peanuts, she uses this cartoony, old-school beat to be energetic and fun with her vocal inflections without going too over the top. And then for the chorus, she goes into this goofy, ah-ha-ha-ha-ha, to the beat of the track. It's a sunny day. The gang's all here. On Denial is a River, she uses this MF Doom Take Me to Your Leader inspired beat that goes in and out of energy to go back and forth with this other high-pitched character as a sort of comedic therapy session. And I really can't explain why this works, but it does. The moment where they start doing breathing exercises is really a highlight of the album.
Okay, Doshi, we don't want to revert back into our old ways, so we're going to try a breathing exercise, okay?
All right, we're...
When I breathe, okay. You breathe, all right? Let's go.
She uses the very smooth bass-heavy track on Catfish to just go really hard, going bar for bar with this angry vocal style and really unique chorus that I can't explain the style of. I just have to play this clip.
Y'all be giving Catfish, log them off the web, and every gangster's giving actress, gangster's giving actress, and all these fake activists. Tell the bitch, hoorah, step up in this bitch, I look too fly, cop the New York.
I can go on and on about how well she adapts to these beats with her own creative ideas for how to bring out her style and voice for each mood. I will say the whole project isn't at the level of some of these highlights that I've mentioned. It seems she put some of her best tracks at the start. If you haven't listened to the project, Bullfrog, Boiled Peanuts, Denial is a River, all those songs are in like the first 10 minutes of the mixtape. So the project starts off really strong and sort of slowly loses steam, not because the other songs are bad, but just not as memorable or compelling. Also, some songs actually are just not my favorite. There's one song that feels way too much like a Doja Cat type song. There's a few slower songs or pop songs that just don't catch my interest. There's a very funny and unhinged song later in the mixtape called Boom Back that ends up proving its worth and being very funny and energetic, but it takes a while to actually start and get into it, and when it doesn't fully fulfill its potential, in my opinion. Plenty of the songs are really special, quite a few are less compelling, but still in vain of what makes the mixtape special, and a few were just kind of subpar. Overall, as a project, I think this really does show off what Doechii has to offer as an artist, and I will be listening to whatever she puts out next. I'm sort of rooting for her to take away the Grammy for new artists, so fingers crossed. My favorite songs on this project were Catfish, Boiled Peanuts, and Stankapoo, and I would give Alligator Bites Never Heal a 7.5 out of 10.
Stick to the plan and ignore them, I can't acknowledge it. They don't make statues of critics, they don't make statues of fans. I'm not no politician, I can't be shaking them hands.
Speaking of Doechii, who appeared on a Tyler the Creator album, I got a Tyler the Creator plushie. My mom got it for me for my birthday, which was on Wednesday.
Happy birthday!
My mom got me the Hello Kitty stuffy of the Call Me If You Get Lost era of Tyler wear. So it's the blue Russian hat and blue coat with a white tee, leopard print button-up, chain necklace, black pants, and white shoes. It was made in China with new materials only, hand wash, and dried naturally. There's some nice details. The texture is very fluffy with the hat and coat, which is nice. The chain is a real metal little chain thingy. The tiny boots are removable, which just kind of adds a layer of cuteness. The skin is the type of fabric that flips up and down subtly when you move it and the color changes slightly, which is fun to play with, but makes me self-conscious that it just looks like I'm rubbing Tyler Podolier's face. That's what I call him, by the way. I feel one last important thing I need to mention about this plush is that owning memorabilia, specifically a toy of Tyler the Creator, carries a little bit more baggage than toys of other celebrities would, and could have bad implications on me.
Think you'll ever be a Tyler doll?
Probably not. Yeah, my fans would probably cut a hole in it if...
But anyway, it was an amazing gift, and I'll go ahead and give the plush the same rating I gave Call Me If You Get Lost, a 9 out of 10. That's pretty much all I have for you this week. Next week, you can look forward to a movie review for the first time in a while. And before I let you listeners go, it's time for Ronnie's Joke of the Week. What would Doechii's Girl Scout cookie be called? Doechii Does. Well, I'll see you later, alligator. And if you want to listen to any of these old episodes or be updated on my show, check out Review Ronnie on Instagram. See you next time on Ronnie's Routinely Reviews. Welcome back to Ronnie's Roughhousing Reviews.
Yeah.
Today I've got a classic one movie, one album format. First up on the docket is the newest Danny Boyle epic, 28 Years Later.
There are many kinds of death.
Now, if you've listened to the special episode that only aired on my Instagram page, you'll remember that I already talked about 28 Days Later, and I absolutely loved it, one of my favorite horror movies. Now, this newest follow-up to that isn't quite as good, but it was still damn good.
28 Years Later, rated R.
I guess the first thing I want to mention is that this movie is seemingly a part one. The film ends on a cliffhanger, which wasn't in any of the marketing or anything. Now that's been a huge trend with directors not being able to condense their ideas into one movie. Dune Part 1, Part 2, Wicked is a Part 1 to a duology. One of the biggest examples was many people being thrown off by the fact that the latest Spider-Verse entry was a Part 2 of 3. And now this one. I do honestly enjoy all those examples to varying degrees, but they still all suffer slightly by the fact that, inherently, the endings are a bit unsatisfying and reliant on how good the next movie will be. Out of those examples, the only one that has concluded in their part 2 is Dune, and it was great, so I could only hope that the other three will do the same. Now, I was so entertained and hooked that I had no idea that it was even close to ending when it did, because it flew by for me. But that's still one real issue I could point to, is that if the next movie in the 28 series isn't great, it'll leave a damper on this one. But that's all ifs, ends, and buts. What was actually observable in this film? First of all, the cinematography was incredible. They had a mountain to live up to with the original 28 having some of the greatest visuals of all time, and they lived up to the mantle quite well. The opening scenes had several strange glass-shattered split point-of-view camera shots, and the unique technique with the fuzzy focus and tilted angles continued throughout, as if the opening virus breakout shattered the world of this town to the point that it affects how they see the world. At least that's how I interpreted it on the first viewing. It was helped greatly by the editing, just like in the original. The fast-paced DJF-style edits combined with creative choices like how the camera froze and shifted as they hit the zombie targets was so impressive. Same with the blood-red nighttime shots of blurry images of zombies eating up dead animals and body parts. The visuals weren't quite as insane and memorable as the original, but they were unique and perfect for a modern reimagining of the 28 Days style. The music also went along with that. The guttural guitar riffs and booming drums near the end hit just as hard as the stressful, shaking music during the boots scene, which hit just as hard as the spastic beats during certain fight scenes. Sound design was also pretty great. The gruesome moments of the big alpha zombies ripping out spines were so effective due in no small part to the brutal sound design. The little boy and the whole supporting cast were incredible, although I feel like I can't fully judge the story yet because none of the themes and ideas have come full circle, which again, kind of isn't great. I wish I had more of a takeaway in terms of where this could lead and what I could take from this film alone. Especially since the original's message was so clear and smart to me. I'm excited for what's next, and I'm loving the cast of characters. And from what we have here, the execution was incredible. But I'm still left a teeny bit empty after this movie. Still loved it, but there's a huge weight on the next movie's shoulders, and I hope it delivers. So I'm giving 28 Years Later an 8 out of 10.
June 20th. A new fear.
Put it down.
28 years later.
Next up is an album that came out 5 years ago at the start of the pandemic, but I only just discovered it very recently, and that album is Little Dominique's Nosebleed by the Koreatown Oddity. It's an underground hip-hop concept album about the Koreatown Oddity, or K-Town's childhood for the most part, and the people, environment, and events that changed his life forever. The performance on this album is incredible. K-Town's writing style was very intriguing. He clearly is very well versed at writing satisfying and complex rhyme schemes and coming up with sick wordplay, but he also doesn't shackle himself to such strict hip-hop writing constraints, and instead plays around with his verses in a non-traditional way, not always rhyming everything perfectly and making the whole album sound more like a journal entry, which I'm sure was very intentional. The storytelling on this album was incredibly vivid and cinematic at times, especially with the small intermissions with his parents and voiceovers of him and his friends hanging out to make you feel like you've literally been transported back in time to witness his childhood. The scenes with his mom were all incredible, and the voice actress killed it and brought something really memorable and special to the table. And I love how the albums end with her to make the experience feel more cohesive.
Is he gonna be okay? Is his nose broken?
I also just love the small anecdotes like K-Town talking about how he used to call Neapolitan ice cream Napoleon because he didn't know how to pronounce it, or the moments where he geeks out about video games and playing Ninja Turtles. Just small details like that paint a more vivid picture.
Foot Clan stepped up, we made them regret it. Leave them running with their tails tucked back to the shredder. The game f***ed up, man, we gotta reset it.
The game f***ed up, we gotta reset this shit.
This style was especially effective on a track like Ginkka Biloba, with the childhood memories spewed out in a very diary entry type way. Some other incredible moments of writing on this album were A B-Word Once Told Me and Attention Challenge, both hyper-focusing on very specific ideas. A B-Word Once Told Me is a story song about a woman who K-Town philosophically disagrees with and spins that conversation into some thought-provoking verses. An Attention Challenge is a perfect example of why this will always be a nerdy underground gem, because songs with such weird sounds and uncomfortable ideas could never really go mainstream. The verses from both K-Town and Skylar Duff are incredible. The eerie, complex production with these kind of disturbing cat meow samples and switch up at the end to an infomercial about this product called Black Google are all aspects that make this song and the whole album so unique.
Get a rape case for attention. Get tats on your face for attention.
Yes, Black Google. We gave a few people in the community our new product and let them try it out. Call this number now to try it for yourself.
On the topic of the production, it's time to really dive into that. Really, the most impressive part was the production for me. I was so in awe of K-Town's ability to puzzle together samples and clips to create such a textured and layered soundscape akin to the genius of something like Since I Left You by the Avalanches. I assume the heavy use of samples is also what caused two of the songs in the album to be off Spotify. Which is so sad because they're some of the sickest tracks on the project. I recommend either listening to this album on YouTube, I'm pretty sure both songs are still on Apple Music, I don't know why they aren't on Spotify, or downloading the two songs into your local files library on Spotify and putting them in the correct order on a playlist of the album. Or just buy the damn record if you have the money. It's worth it, I promise. Koreatown Oddity, the song named after the artist and one of the missing tracks, has one of the most textured and fascinating sounds. The song has this spooky, eerie vibe with bouncy, odd-sounding bass hits. It's a sound that I can only describe by saying it reminds me of Killer Clowns from Outer Space. It's just so weird and layered. I can't skim past my Killer Clowns from comparison without mentioning the very explicit, circusy, childish sound of Kimchi. Plus, the songs have a similar special cosmic horror vibe, like the graveyard type beat on Darkness Interlude or the spooky circus sound on No Yores. There's also a running theme of songs having beat switches and entire sonic shifts to keep the album feeling sporadic and chaotic in just the right way. A Bleep Once Told Me, which I mentioned earlier, has actually two beat switches and they're both so perfect, as well as on Little Dominique's Nosebleed Part 1, which is the song that lays down the story of the album, switching from a boom-bap soul beat to an ominous organ beat with a very dark piano melody and smoky percussion.
Little Dominique in the car with his moms, on the way to the sitter in a white Nissan. No health insurance and that's still what I need. You don't know nothing about Little Dominique's nosebleed.
It signifies the life-altering moment described on the song, when K-Town gets in an intense car crash, leading to him hitting his head on the windshield and developing a tragic nose condition, leading to debilitating chronic nosebleeds. As someone who's had nosebleeds pretty often my whole life, the description of his condition really disturbed me, especially when paired with the dark beat. I've been listening to Boards of Canada a lot lately, particularly their album Geogaudy, but on many listens I skip the track Gyroscope. Not because I don't like it, it's actually one of the best on the albums, but the movie Sinister has stained that song to remind me of such horrific scenes. In the same way that Gyroscope is sometimes too much for me to handle, I sometimes skip Little Dominique's Nosebleed Part 1. Because it's too vivid and effective for me. I also listened to Ethel Cain's masterpiece Preacher's Daughter very recently, and I have barely revisited it much since, even though I loved it, because it's too dark. And that's really powerful if you can create music that compelled such a reaction in someone. Anyways, Chase the Spirit is another track with an intense and demonic piano melody over the dusty drum hits, but it goes even further with the very off-kilter and insane ending that takes a hard left turn into dark spirituality and eerie choir sounds.
Finna put my fucking phone down, pick up some literature, but hold up right quick, I got this tweet I gotta finish first.
The song that goes furthest into an experimental, unconventional sound just might be Little Dominique's Nosebleed Part 2, with a strange jazzy sample to exacerbate the second song that describes a separate incident of a life-altering car crash.
No health insurance and that's still what I need. You don't know nothing about Little Dominique's Nosebleed.
The production on this track really reminds me of Atrocity Exhibition, another masterclass of experimental hip-hop. I also love the more emotional melodic sounds of tracks like The World's Smallest Violin and Weed in L.A., the latter having great political lyrics on the chorus, which ties into an ongoing social commentary in the lyrics between the childhood stories. I mentioned Since I Left You by the Avalanches earlier, and I can't skim past that comparison without talking about Laugh of Luxury, the second last song before the hilarious skit outro. Laugh of Luxury demonstrates the genius of high-level sampling. The late 90s coastal sound of the fluttery beat mixed with the beautiful vocals from this female singer, mixed with what sounds to me like an old Indian vocal recording, mixed with nature sounds of beach waves and seagulls, tied all together by the uplifting poetry to close the track out.
With such realization, he will become the master of his position, but never a slave.
It's so complex and mind-blowing to me to be able to piece all that together. I admire that quality so much, and it's just one piece of what makes this album so incredible. And you could only really experience that by listening to the album. So please go listen to it, and make sure the copy of this album has the third and fourth tracks. My favorites on this album were Little Dominique's Nosebleed Part 1, Lap of Luxury, and Koreatown Oddity. And I would give this album a 9 out of 10.
Little Dominique's Nosebleed.
Little Dominique's Nosebleed.
Little Dominique's Nosebleed.
Little Dominique's Nosebleed.
That's all I have for you this week. Check out Review Ronnie on Instagram for more info on the show. And before I let you listeners go, it's time for Ronnie's Joke of the Week. What would you call 28 years later if it was about a deadly hangover? 28 beers later. See you next time on Ronnie's Ruptured Reviews.
Hey, Ronnie.
Good reviews?
Fabulous reviews.
This is Ronnie. Make it good.
Don't you feel Ronnie could have been a
reviewer?
It's Ronnie, all right.
Ronnie.
Reviews.
Fabulous reviews.
And this is the best review we got.
You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM here in Winnipeg.
Generous support to CKUW 95.9 FM is provided by Into the Music, quality collectible music since 1987. Into the Music is located in the Exchange District, 245 McDermott at the corner of King Street. To receive our twice-weekly newsletter, call the store or go online at intothemusic.ca to sign up. Kick off your Friday evenings at 7:30 with us at our in-store stage for free all-ages shows featuring local bands and performers.
Do you enjoy supporting young local artists? Is it your jam to watch free music and videos in your community? Please come on down to the Park Theater on December 17th at 6 p.m. to see Just TV's annual showcase. Come and check out what this year's youth have been working on. Enjoy music videos, solo artists, and live bands. Take a break from holiday shopping. Come on down to the Park Theater at 698 Osborne on December 17th to see our showcase. Doors open at 6 and the show starts at 6:30. Come support the youth on this very special day. It's free admission. What do you got to lose? See you there.
Please consider the Meta World Stupa Loop show on CKUW 95.9 FM every Wednesday 2 to 4 p.m.